I'd like to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm beginning to read at verse 14. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it should not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think to be less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, each part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those who have gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Amen. Last week we were beginning to look at this, or 2 weeks ago, this series, Serving in Christ's Body. And we're looking at the subject of serving. Today we're looking at the subject of serving with dependence. And the reason for looking at this, I said, one of the challenges is today we live in a very individualistic society. We're very much people focused on themselves, what they want, what their own personal needs are. And there's less a sense of community that there once was. And that is true within the church. So often people are just focused on what they want, what suits them, what pleases them, rather than having this sense of being part of the body of Christ. And last time we were looking at serving in God's will. We looked at the first 13 verses of this chapter. We saw the test that is given there. And there are two things we need to ask. Does this action that we want to do, does it glorify Christ? Do we honor God by what we're seeking to do? And secondly, does this action submit to the Lordship of Christ? Is it done in obedience to Jesus? It's not about what do I want, or whether something's comfortable, whether something pleases me. It's whether indeed it glorifies the Savior, and indeed it is in obedience to him. We thought then last time also about the diversity. We saw there's diversity in the gifts that God gives to his people. Diversity in different ways that people use their service. The working out of these things, it's different in people's lives. And again, we see that while there's one body, there's great variety. And then we focused on the unity. And unity comes from being united to and saved by the one God. Gifts from the same Spirit, service from the same Lord, and workings from the same God. And I think that's very important for us to understand that we can only truly be part of the body of Christ We can only truly feel part of the church when we have experienced the salvation of Christ and have been united to Jesus. Now what Paul does as we continue today is bring home with great clarity teaching about being part of the body of Christ. And what we have here is a wonderful illustration that he uses as he pictures different parts of the human body talking to each other. It's actually very funny when you think of what he's doing. We're introduced here to a talking foot, a talking ear, a talking eye, and a talking head, which maybe isn't just so strange. And as we think of this today and the body of Christ, we're going to consider a question. Who is the most important person within the body of Christ? Who's the most important person in the church? I wonder how you would answer that. Well, the way Paul answers it is probably very different from what we might first imagine. The first thing we see here that Paul is teaching, recognize you are important. And Paul responds to the danger of some members of the church feeling inferior or unimportant compared to others. And Paul is showing how foolish is this idea that because one member cannot do what other members can do, that they think they're not a vital part of the body. Look at verse 14. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. Now, you couldn't imagine such a conversation happening within a human body. The ear and the eye debating with each other that because they're not something else, that they don't feel part of it. It's crazy, such an idea. But it's also equally crazy that within the body of Christ, within the church, people think that because they don't do what somebody else does, they can't do what somebody else does, that they're not an important part of the body. And I wonder, have you ever been guilty of that yourself? Have you ever thought that way? Maybe you can't maybe go up front and teach the way some other people can do. You can't play music or sing the way other people can do. You maybe don't have a prominent role ever up front. And you think, because of that, well, I don't have an important part in the church of Christ. But each member Paul is teaching here needs to see that they are significant. Christ died for every believer. Christ died for them as much as he did for anyone else. And so the person who's very gifted and upfront in their giftedness, they have been no more loved by the Lord than the person who is in the background and has a very quiet role. And because we don't do a certain role, we shouldn't see what we do as being unimportant. Just since we've had an election of elders, or maybe there's some men here who were thinking about the possibility that they might have been elected by elders. And maybe there's some men maybe who might actually be a wee bit disappointed. And there's nothing wrong with that because it says in the Bible, those who seek the task of an overseer seek a good thing. But because you aren't elected as an elder does not mean that you're not loved by the Lord. And it doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't have a very important role for you to play within the Church of Jesus Christ. As with a body, a church cannot function properly if all the members were the same, doing the same thing. Look there at verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Say variety is the spice of life. And if we're all the same, boy, it'd be a pretty boring place. And if we're all the same, there are many things that would not be, the body wouldn't be able to do. Paul is emphasizing, as with a human body, which is fearfully and wonderfully made by the Lord, the church has been fearfully and wonderfully designed and constructed by God. Look what he says going on into verse 18. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they're all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. All believers have been designed and gifted by God as he desires. And we have been designed and gifted to play a vital role within the life of the church where God has placed us. We belong to the church because God has brought us here. God knows what he is doing. God doesn't make mistakes. He didn't make any mistakes when he made you and gave you the gifts that you have received. He didn't make many mistakes in bringing you to be part of this fellowship. The church, like a body, functions best as every part fulfills its God's given function. You are important, and the role that God has for you to play within the church is important. And that is true of every single believer. No believer should say, I have an important role. No believer should say, there's nothing that I can do. If you say that, you're saying God is lying here, because God has given his gifts to every member. And every part of the body has an important function to carry out. Do you realize you have this God-given role? You have a function, you have tasks that you have to carry out. Have you sought what that role is? Do you know what God wants you to do within the life of the fellowship? As you look at the different gifts that are given in the Bible, they can be greatly varied. The role could be a practical role, being part of a count team, counting the money, helping out in the food bank. It could be a caring role, visiting people who are lonely, visiting people who are in need, taking people to hospital appointments. It could be a role within the organizations, as a helper within an organization, or it could be a role even in the background, helping practically in some of the areas of an organization. Roles are varied, but you do have a role to play. Your role is important, and if you don't carry your role out, then the church will not function as it could or as it should. I was in a silver band for about 10 or 12 years. And when I started in the silver band, I was playing second cornet. And for those who are in musical, you might be aware of what a second cornet plays. Quite often you're playing dut, 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 dut. And to be honest, it wasn't the most exciting role you ever could have, playing something like second cornet. It was better, mind you, than third cornet in that. But you're thinking, you know, what's the point of this? Dut, 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 dut. But, and you're thinking, I'd rather be like a solo cornet, plays the melody, or like the basses who have the bass line and the harmony and that. But when all the different parts were put together, and in a silver band there could be like 20 different parts, when they were all put together, every part fitted to form a lovely harmony. And even the duh, 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 had their role to play. It had a crucial role to play. And we need to understand that, but that maybe our role isn't that particularly visible and upfront. But that does not mean that our role is not important. Let me use an illustration from sport. Use an illustration from my hockey days. When I started playing hockey, I played left back. And in many ways, I think in those days, certainly the way hockey was played then, left back was probably one of the least exciting roles. Hockey is very right-sided, and left back is the defensive role in the side, which just goes against the flow of things. And you know, you can think as a left back, you know, it's pretty boring back here. You haven't too much to do at times. And you could maybe, if you lack discipline, start to wander all over the pitch. But if you start to wander all over the pitch, you will leave probably the most important area for the other team to attack in, the right-hand side. And if there's a lack of discipline in fulfilling your function and your role in your team, things can really go badly wrong. And it's the same within the church. We have a role to play. We need to be disciplined in our role. We need to be reliable in the role that God has given us to do. We need to be doing that role to the very best of our ability. If it's involved in an organization, we need to be punctual and be consistent in turning up and being there in time and being there consistently week by week and not always be crying off. We need to be those who are reliable. And even if our role isn't the most exciting or glamorous role or upfront role, if we don't do it, the church will be impacted. There will be a detrimental impact in the organization. So that's the first point. Recognize you are important. Every member has an important role to carry out. Secondly, we need to recognize others are important. And we move on to verses 21 to 26. And Paul here is dealing with the danger now of some members of the church feeling superior and feeling too important. Too full of themselves is the expression we might use. And pride is a very dangerous thing, particularly when we're given responsibility. We saw that in the teaching on the eldership, how an elder mustn't be a recent convert in case they're taken over with this pride. And one of the most dangerous things in the life of any believer, one of the most dangerous things in the life of a church is pride. We have to be watchful. And that's what Paul is dealing with here. People who thought they were far better than others. And Paul teaches that we need to recognize that every part of the body of Christ, every member is important. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. In the church, others need us, but we need others as well. The church isn't a place for mavericks. It isn't a place for loners. It isn't a place for one-man bands. We're to live depending on each other. We live for Christ with dependence on our brothers and sisters. And you know something? We have been designed to function that way. We have been designed as Christians to grow and develop, not as individuals, but to grow and develop as part of this body through depending on each other. We're not to consider others as unimportant. And we certainly are not to look down on others. Paul goes on and says, verse 22, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Those which some might consider as insignificant within the fellowship, they cannot be done without, Paul is saying here. Those people that you think are unimportant, those people are absolutely vital and probably a lot more vital than we ever realize. I might have used this before, but it's a good illustration to get across this point. When I was in college studying for the ministry, first year I lived in the college. And that year, I've got to say, there was great sense of fellowship. The kitchen at night within the college was buzzing, and there was great crack, there was great banter. There's some great, and at times, intelligent conversations as well. And there's a great atmosphere. Before second year, I had got married and was living out of the college. And the people who were still living in the college said, you know, there's not the crack there once was. There's not the same atmosphere within the college. And people have probably thought, you know, there were quite a few characters who had left the college at that stage. And it was maybe because some of these characters weren't there that the fellowship wasn't what it once was. But I firmly believe the reason why the fellowship once wasn't what it once was because of one quiet fellow called Alistair. Alistair was very studious, but he was also like clockwork. He worked to 10 o'clock every evening. Then at 10 o'clock every evening, he left his bedroom. He came into the kitchen. And if nobody was there, he still sat down and he had his supper. Other people might have come into the kitchen and there was no one there, would have just left. Alistair came and he sat down. And then somebody else would come and see Alistair there, so they would sit. Then somebody else would come, And because of this one quiet person, who probably didn't say an awful lot in a lot of the conversations and debate, because of that one quiet person, the whole thing was dynamic. A friend of mine belonged to a church in Belfast. It's one of the few Presbyterian churches towards the center of Belfast, which is actually growing. And it has flourished in numbers. Of course, I was interested by it, and I asked my friend, what was the secret of this? What's the secret of this church's growth? And the fellow who's the minister is a good fellow, a good Bible teacher, but there's nothing out of this world, certainly, about his ministry. Well, this friend of mine says, it's because of a couple in the church. There's a lovely older couple in the church who see themselves having a ministry of hospitality. And they would invite these young couples, these young adults, around to their house. They've been doing it for years. And they would invite anybody that came to church, young adults, they'd invite them around. And what would happen is then these young adults would then begin to show similar hospitality. And he says he believes that's one of the real secrets for the growth of that church. A quiet couple, maybe in some senses, doing a quiet work, but used by God in a wonderful, wonderful way. Paul goes on, he says here, special care needs to be given to the less honorable and unpresentable parts of the body. He says in verse 3, and the parts we think that are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. He says, those people that we count as maybe the least significant are sometimes the people we need to be more careful to look after. And the danger is that within a church, people can quickly run after people who are prominent and neglect other people. When Cherif and I got married, we attended a church for a period of time. We went to this church regularly on a Sunday when I wasn't preaching elsewhere. We went to the midweek. And when we went to that church, the only people that spoke to us was the minister, his wife, and their family, who we knew, incidentally, beforehand anyway. And we would go even to the midweek. Can you imagine this? Go into a midweek, and nobody would speak to us. And this went on for quite a period of time. And then, somehow, people discovered, I think, from the minister, that I was a student for the ministry. And all of a sudden, they were over Cherif and me like a rash. It was like, could you help in this? Could you do this? And you know, that was, for us in one sense, is so sad. Because they thought that I was going on to be a minister, all of a sudden, I became important to them. And that shouldn't be the case. Everybody that comes through the door of a church building, people should value them. People should respect them. Every member is needed. Every member is important. Every member needs to be cared for. Look what Paul says there in verse 25. He says, so there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, each part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Everyone is important. Everyone is to be loved. Everyone is to be cared for. And I wonder, do you seek to talk to every person in this fellowship? Is there people who you don't know that you hold back from talking to? You should try and talk to every person. You should seek to get to know. When I was in Moy, I remember going into a house, and Moy would have probably have half the number of people on a Sunday morning than there is here. I remember being in a house, and this lady belonged to the church 30, 40 years since she was married. And I was talking to her, she was out of church every Sunday, about a lady who sat on the other side of the church, who attended the church for the same length of time. Both of them never missed church on Sunday morning. And the person didn't know who the other lady was. And you know, that isn't the way it should be. The church is to be a family where we have to make effort to get to know each other. We have to take an interest in every person, irrespective of their background. Maybe their background's different from us. We have to still take an interest. One of the problems is we like to talk to people who are like ourselves. And we might discriminate because of their background, because of the job they do, maybe because of their family. Sometimes what happens in the church If people belong to a long-standing family, maybe they're treated better than people whose family just has come into the church. It shouldn't be like that. Every person is to be valued. We should talk to people irrespective of their age. If you're an older person, speak to the younger people. Make an effort to speak to them. Younger people, speak to the old fogies. They have so much to teach you. We shouldn't just speak to people who are similar to us. We're a family, and we need each other, and we're to support each other. Another thing we have to be aware of is that we can discriminate because of people's personality. There are some people who are, let me put it tactfully, harder to get on with than others. Cherif and I once went to a church. There was a lady, and she was miserable. You know, a day like that, she would have been in heaven almost. She'd be able to wallow in her misery in an awful wet day like that. And Cherif would go into church, you know, and sit beside this lady, and for every complaint and negative comment that the lady would have, Cherif played this game of trying to have a positive comment for every negative one she had. And you know, that lady, she was a Christian lady. But the joy of the Lord, it was pretty deep in her. It certainly didn't show its way to her face too often. And you know, in the fellowship, there are people who are awkward. We need to make special effort with them. We're to love and to care for every person. We must be a loving fellowship where in Christ everyone is welcome. In Christ everyone is loved. In Christ everyone is cared for. So recognize that you matter, you're important, but recognize others are important too. Everyone is important. The third thing then is recognize God's plan as we come to the close of this chapter, verses 27 to 31. And Paul now speaks of desiring what he calls the greater gifts there in verse 31. Eagerly desire the greater gifts. Now, what are these greater gifts that Paul is speaking about here? And there could be a bit of debate about this. But Paul gives a list of offices or roles in verse 28 there. It'll be on the screen. He says, and in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those who have gifts of healing, those who are able to help others, those who have gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues or languages. And it appears that what he does here is put these gifts in the order of their importance. He says, first of all, there's first of all apostles. Then he says, second, there are prophets. And then third, there are teachers. Now, why are those three singled out as first, second, and third? And I believe the reason is this. These are word gifts. Gifts and offices, particularly about bringing God's word to people. Now, he's not saying that the people who have these gifts are more important than anybody else within the fellowship. But what he is saying is this. Their role is more important than some other roles. Word gifts have priority because they prepare God's people to use their other gifts. That's why these gifts are singled out. These gifts are given priority, if you look at the list, priority even over miracles and gifts of healing. Now, if people came into the church and had these gifts of doing miracles and healing, you'd put them there as the most important role. No. Paul says that most important roles are those roles which teach people God's word. Word gifts hold the fellowship together and equip the fellowship for service. He makes it clearer in Ephesians 4. You'll see it on the screen. In Ephesians 4, he says, it was he, speaking of Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, all word gifts, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. So people who have these gifts of using God's word are to use them so that the rest of fellowship would grow in Christ, that they would use their gifts, and as they use their gifts, the body together is built up. It's as God's people sit under God's appointed teachers that they're built up, they're equipped, they're prepared to use their gifts. And that is why if you're going to be useful in serving in the church and using your gifts, you need to be faithful. It's Sunday worship, morning and evening, at the midweek. Get yourself under God's word, and that will help you to grow in your service in the life of the church. The body will not function properly if we're not all sitting under the same word. A church with amazing diversity, a church with such a variety of gifts and abilities, will be a united church through sitting under the same teaching and being moved in the same direction by the Holy Spirit. That's how diversity can also be unity, is through the word being at the center. Let me just, as I come towards the end, just give some practical helps in discovering your gifts and your role within the church. Because we talk about the people having a gifts and roles. How do we know what our gifts, what our roles are? Let me give you a few little pointers here. First of all, recognize that you have been given gifts to use by God. Recognize that every believer, and if you're a Christian, that includes you, you have gifts which God has given you to use. Secondly, sit faithfully under the word gifts. Sit faithfully under the teaching of God's word so that you will be strengthened and equipped and guided in using your gifts. Thirdly, pray for a heart that is burdened to serve. No matter how gifted you are, you will not be faithful in using your gifts in the life of the church if you haven't got a servant heart. Pray for that. That God in his grace would give you a growing servant heart. Fourthly, consider the gifts. Consider the abilities that you have been given. Look at yourself. Think of the things you think you might be good at. Think of the things that indeed you enjoy doing. Think of your gifts. Fifthly, listen to what others say about your gifts. It's important to listen to others and have good friends that you will be talked to about this, because sometimes we can get ourselves, we can be very wrong and we can be fooling ourselves. I've had people who have came to me, not in Brookside, but I think of someone who came to me who believes he was called into the ministry. I wouldn't let him near a Sunday school class, to be honest, and that. We can fool ourselves. So listen to good friends. Listen to good friends. Sixthly, consider where there is need. Where is there need for people to serve within the church? And when people look for volunteers, for people to help with different things, don't say, oh, well, so-and-so will be able to. Think of yourself first. Pray for the church. Pray for the different organizations. And as you pray for the different organizations, the Lord might show you where there's particular need. And the final point is pray honestly for guidance as to where you should serve. I say pray honestly because sometimes we can pray with a closed mind, shutting our door, our heart's door to what the Lord wants us to do. We have to pray, Lord, whatever you want, your will be done. Let me just read a few verses here as we come to a close. Verse 14. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Verse 20, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let me just recap as I close. Recognize, believer, that you are important. You have an important role to play, and if you don't do it, this church will suffer. Recognize others are important. Every person in the fellowship is important and has a role to play. And thirdly, recognize God's plan. Recognize that it's through sitting under God's word, the teaching of God's word, that we're equipped, that we're prepared, that together we serve in the united body of Christ. But let me just have a final word for those who are not Christians. There's a sense where you cannot fully be part of this fellowship. We love to see you coming on a Sunday, and we long that you continue to come, and please do, and I hope you find a welcome here. But to be really part of the body of Christ, to really know that you have a sense that you belong here, you have to be united to the other members through being united to Christ. You can't play a full part in this church. You can't really be part of it fully until Christ has captured you. You belong to him. And then together, we serve for his honor.